I don't just want somebody to stand up and say, well, she's in heaven. We know she is. Well, praise God. Tell me, what is that, you know? And the world would like to know. And the world that we now live in, even the Christian world, is living so much for the immediate that they're not looking at eternity. Now, think about this. Before we read the scripture, Revelation 21. When you were born again, you received eternal life. It's not you're going to receive it.
Right.
You know, when I die, I'm going to live forever. No, I'm already living forever. I have eternal life. That's the gift of God to the believer, is eternal life. That is present, not future. I'm not waiting to get that. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to receive my reward of eternal life. That reward is a reward of faith. You get that immediately. Rewards in heaven will be rewards for works, not faith. You understand what I'm saying? The reward of eternal life is immediately now and while you're living now. So I never die. See, that's why he says be absent from the body's presence with the Lord. I'll never die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. You understand that, right? Most Christians do not think about things like that. They think later on they're going to get it, and they don't know what heaven's like until later on. Well, because of biblical ignorance, and some of them's just lazy, they don't know what they already have and what that leads to. So Revelation chapter 21 is about heaven. It's not about eternal life. We go there already eternal. Y'all see what I'm saying? So if I'm going to heaven, I'd like to know a little bit about it, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Now, my wife occasionally, we hadn't done it hardly since we had grandkids because everything revolves around grandkids. If you're going to go see them, they live out of state. But before they all moved, we would have family vacations. And you want to see what's hard work. You'd be a father-in-law getting three son-in-laws to get along and still love them. And we'd have family vacations. So we would usually go. My wife doesn't like the mountains. She gets sick going around the corner. She can't go around all that stuff in the mountains. And I've seen her and Becky's lips turn blue and their skin turn white, and I've had to let them out on the side of the road to throw up in the mountains. They can't ride in the mountains. And so we go to the beach. I'm sorry, we're Baptists. We go to the ocean. We don't go to the beach. But we go somewhere like Garden City or Edisto Island family, and we'd rent a house. And my wife and I, since we both have worked and built up a little value, we can afford to pay for that. That way, nobody had to say so about the rules except me. If they helped pay the rent, they'd think they'd have a little say so. You understand what I'm saying? So it was worth $2,000 or $3,000 to keep them out of it. You understand? Don't say, wow, you go to Disney World, man. That's the most expensive place in the world. And but so we'd rent a house. And then we'd get online to find that house. And I wanted to see pictures of it. I want to see every room. I want to know everything that got in that house. Because if I'm paying, we have paid $4,000 a week for a house. But you're talking about a house that'll sleep 15, 16 people. Nice house. And that's been our vacation money for a long time. But so I want to see every picture. If I had questions, I'd call them up and ask them. We made big plans. And we did this for years till our son-in-laws couldn't get along no more. And so I want to know everything about where I'm going. Somebody's paid a high price for heaven. And I want to know everything about it. I want to see the rooms. I want to see the floor. I want to see the ceiling. I want to see everything. Before I knew better, we'd go on vacation and just call and make a reservation in advance in some place we'd never been, to a motel, hotel, or something we'd never stayed in, and you get some terrible surprises that way. I remember one time I went to pastor school and I took four men with me. Terry McAteer was one of them. And Johnny Coley was another. And I'd always try to take men with me so they could be encouraged, because it's all about preaching and teaching and shouting, you know, good old-fashioned. And it was in Hammond, Indiana, right outside Chicago, and all these little towns run together. And so I didn't know how to get on the internet and do stuff then, so I just called up what I thought was a Comfort Inn in a little place called Calumet, Indiana. Oh, you've been there. And we drove up. Boy, we had a good time going up there. And we left on Sunday night. And we stayed in Kentucky and then went on next morning. And we drove up and I was following directions. And we got off the interstate and the motel was supposed to be right there. 15 minutes from church was going to be going to all week. And when we got up off of it, we rode and we saw the sign and rode down that road and we came up, and as we was pulling into the parking lot, they had 6-8 foot chain link fence around it with barbed wire on top of the fence. And we pulled up in the parking lot and there's a bunch of ghetto people out in the parking lot, and they dealing and wheeling and thumping and boom, 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 all that stuff. And I was driving. Brother Terry McAteer said, "You better not stop rolling. Do not stop rolling in this parking lot. You keep going." He said, "I don't know how you found this place, but we ain't staying here." And I said, "I agree." So we ended up going to another little town up the road, rode around till we found something that looked nice and got a place. And I got my money back. But I called Comfort Inn or whatever it is, hotel chain, and they said, "Oh, they lost their franchise. They hadn't took that sign down yet." I mean, it was so bad that they wouldn't let them use their name. Now, most Baptists are doing that with heaven. They ain't ever seen it. They don't know anything about it. They don't show up the times that it's taught on, preached on. They don't read it for themselves. But they believe, they hope, it's going to be a wonderful place. Of course it is. But I learned a long time ago, I want to see it before I get there. And we got pictures in the book of Revelation of heaven. Word pictures. And so, look at Revelation 21, verse 1 through 3. "And I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I don't know, most men don't ever think about stuff like that. But now all my daughters had beautiful weddings, but Suzanne had the Princess Di wedding. She was my oldest. Suzanne had saved money and saved money and saved money. And her husband-to-be, his family had a pretty good bit of money. And we called up Eastside Baptist Church where I got saved. And the pastor there at that time was, I think it was Pastor Napier. I said, "Listen, we're going to have a wedding, and there's no way my church can hold all these people. They say if you send out invitations, what is it, one-third of the people or something like that will show up, one-third or one-fourth of the invitations you send out, one-third. If you send out 300, expect 100. My daughter had sent out, I think, over 1,000 invitations. She knows that many people. So he said, "Well, okay, that'll be $1,000 rental." I said, "Wait a minute. I got saved at Eastside Baptist Church. I know people at Eastside Baptist Church. I'm not paying you $1,000 to use God's house. I want to have a wedding. Give me another price." He said, "Okay, preacher, for you, $300. Cleanup fee." I said, "Okay." So we went down there, and I'm telling you, it was Princess Di. That place was packed. And Suzanne came out there, and as I walked down the aisle with her, I started crying. She had a big, long, beautiful train, and all those beautiful, you know, people, her sister and all up there, you know. I started crying. There's no way I ever could have done a wedding for my daughters. I cried through the whole thing. But she was beautiful. And then after it was all over, she done got her picture made and put in a frame. That picture Now, she ain't shy about getting her own picture took. That picture was about that big. It was about that wide with a gold frame. And it was sitting in fellowship hall where we'd had the reception. And I watched a stranger drive off with my daughter, her hand waving out the top of that limousine, going to some foreign country on an airplane. My daughter never had been away from me. And everybody was gone. I walked back in that reception hall because I had to get busy. And I started cleaning up. And I wasn't supposed to. I paid people to clean up. And I'm cleaning up. Ain't nobody there but me. And I turn around and I see that picture. It's so beautiful. And it just grief, not joy. Grief comes over me like a wave, man. And I get weak in the knees. And I sit down on the floor and I got my head between my knees and I'm sitting there crying. And the cleanup lady comes through and she says, "Sir, are you all right?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not all right. My beautiful daughter in that picture right there just drove off with a man I don't even know." It'd like to kill me. But I look back on it and that wedding, it says it right here, as a bride adorned for her groom. She spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. That was the most beautiful wedding I've ever been part of. Now, my other two were good too, but this was the extreme. And I think of that when I read this picture. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Not many people think much of that anymore. They don't think about weddings much anymore. They don't even get married, half of them. More than that. But think about the most beautiful bride you've ever seen walking down the aisle and that groom down there waiting on her. And he's just standing there. When he sees her, boy, his eyes just light up. He thinks that's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. That's exactly the way we're going to feel when we see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. As a bride adorned. Hey, it is beautiful coming down out of heaven. And then look at that, verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself," not his spirit, but God himself, "whoo, shall be with them and be their God." I see a little bit of God. I feel a little bit of God. Sometimes more than other times. But not God himself coming to be with me. And boy, that's what heaven's going to be. God himself with his people. Father, help us tonight. We try to explain a little, understand a little, enjoy a little bit of heaven. Well, we sent Bobby off the other day to heaven. He's up there rejoicing and we're down here weeping. He's satisfied and we're longing. And Lord, I pray tonight we'll get a little glimpse and it'll encourage us and we'll go out of here better than what we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. What is in that city? Well, according to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it's a sight to behold. Amen. It is a sight to behold. Now, my mama hardly ever traveled out of her little circle, work and home and the neighborhood there. And we didn't travel much because we was poor. We didn't go on vacations or anything like that. But I remember the first time my brother took me and my little brother and my mama to the beach. I must have been about 12 years old, maybe 13. Well, actually, I was 14 because I had been in a car wreck the week before with another teenager. And my brother took us down there, and as we drove up down one of those roads pointing toward the ocean, I could see that thing on the horizon. And I had never seen. It took my breath as a little boy to see that gigantic, beautiful ocean. Then he pulled where we get out, and we got out, and we walked down that beach. You remember the first time you walked on the beach? Can you remember that? You remember the first time you saw that and you heard those waves Now, I'm not talking about Myrtle Beach, little Las Vegas. I'm talking about the beach. I'm talking about the ocean. And boy, so it was just, and it still is to some extent. It makes you feel like you're about that tall. And boy, you see all that grandeur and all that beauty. And then you go home and they say, what'd you see? You say, well, I don't know, just a sight to behold, man. You ain't ever seen nothing like it. And that's the way heaven is. If people could come back and tell us and try to describe it, they'll just say, it's a sight to behold. You're going to have to see it for yourself. Amen? Now, it's not some little sitting on a cloud playing a little harp, you know, with a little halo. That's ridiculous. Some people try to make heaven into earth, and they'll say, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Well, if heaven is a lot like Dixie, I'd rather not go. Amen? Some people say, West Virginia, almost heaven. No, sir, it ain't. I've been there. Some of the poorest people in the world live in West Virginia. It ain't almost heaven. Some parts of it may be just the opposite if you're stuck down the bottom of a coal mine. But I'll tell you this, there is a heaven, and we can't even describe it. The Apostle Paul went there one time, and he said, it was so great, I can't even tell you. It's not lawful for me to tell you what it was like. If we really knew what it was like, we'd be jumping off bridges.
That's exactly right.
Amen? Boy, if we knew what it was like. And then look at verse 3 through 5. I heard a great voice out of heaven, behold, tabernacle of God's with men. He'll dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That tells me there's going to be some crying in heaven. I believe that'll be a judgment seat when we cry. And he's going to wipe, and maybe at the great white throne judgment when our loved ones are cast into the lake of fire. And there shall be no more death. Boy, that'd be a blessing. We could stop right there and shout it out. Nobody in this room, death has not touched our house. The old death angel. Well, I can't wait to see him get killed. Amen? And stop. Just stop him once and for all. Neither sorrow. Not one person. Some little kid may not know sorrow, but there's nobody in this room that's not old enough to know some kind of sorrow, some kind of heartbreak, some kind of pain. Now, and listen, nor crying. I'm a crier. Y'all know that. I'm a crier. And people think that's weakness, but I got news for you. A man that'll cry, that's not a sign of weakness. Most of the time, it's a sign of compassion. And don't mistake that for weakness. And neither shall there be any more pain. Won't that be today? Now, I'm not talking about my pain. I'm talking about other people's pain. I don't like to go to the hospital. I couldn't work in the hospital. Because I can't stand to see people hurt. It breaks my heart to see people hurt because I can't do anything about it. I can pray and hope God will intervene. But one day there's coming a day and every one of us have seen people die agonizing deaths. Painful, unbelievable pain. And God in heaven says there'll be no more pain. Amen? So that means there's no more cancer. No more leukemia. No more COPD. No more heart problems. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. Now, you know what? I look forward to hearing that voice when he says, you're my people, and I'm your God, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm doing away with all this stuff. You're not going to feel this anymore. In heaven, those things are gone. Then look at Revelation chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. Look at verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Song of Moses, when Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, they got on the other side, they sang. They celebrated. And they sang something like this. Of course, it was a lot longer, more detailed. But what they were doing, they were praising God for deliverance. and they were praising God for His mercy, and they was praising God that He is Almighty. Amen. There's going to be, when we get on the other side in heaven, there's going to be a song to be sung. Now, a lot of people here don't sing. People, and by the way, you'll teach kids to sing. You'll teach grandkids to sing. Make them get a song book out. Make them sing with us. I don't care if ain't, but my kids start hymn books as soon as they was old enough to hold them. And I know you did, CJ. And she even helps us sing. But everybody that's saved will sing in heaven. Everybody. And you say, well, that's because we'll have glorified voices. You're just being theological. Let's be honest. We're going to sing because we're going to be happy. We're going to sing because we're going to celebrate. Amen? Listen, and it won't be any blues. Amen? No more blues. No more heartbreak hotel. Amen? No more blue Christmas. Amen? It's all going to be praise and honor and glory to God Almighty, Thou King of Saints. And we're going to praise Him and sing to Him. And I got, hey, listen, I have a problem with people that won't sing down here. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about hymns. But as soon as I got saved, I wanted to sing them. I wanted to sing them. Because there's something about lifting our voice in song to our Savior. Do you not think so? It honors Him. It glorifies Him. You say, I can't sing. It didn't say you had to have talent. It didn't say, Lord knows I ain't got it. It didn't say that you got to have some kind of tryout to join the heavenly choir. No, everybody's going to sing. Everybody's going to sing. My sister Judy. I had three sisters that were born mentally retarded. They stayed in Clinton Village growing up. Because back then, Mama couldn't take care of them. We didn't have a daddy. And the government took them and put them in Clinton Village. That's down Presbyterian home down in Clinton, South Carolina. And they wouldn't teach retarded people how to read or write or anything back then. They'd teach them how to take care of themselves, brush their teeth, wash clothes, make their bed. They didn't think they had a practical use. So Judy, Betty, and Nancy. One day I came home from school about fourth grade, and there they were. I'd never met them. And they were too old to stay in Clinton then. But I'm going to tell you something about Judy. Judy could not read or write until she was 55 years old. Somebody came to her house and took the time, because it took a lot of time, to teach her how to read and write her own name. And then she learned how to read and write a little bit more to where she could read a little bit of Bible. But Judy, listen, and she did it here several times. Judy say, and they couldn't talk plain. You know, they had a cleft palate, you know, and they talked kind of like hair lip kind of people, you know. And Judy not as bad as the other two. But they couldn't say Ronnie, they say Wani. Like a little kid, you know. And Judy would say, Wani, can I sing? I said, yeah, Judy, you can sing. And she'd get up, and she knew one song she'd memorize, I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. And every church she ever went to, she wanted to sing, I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. And she had it. She had it. And she didn't have it perfect. And if piano played, she wouldn't be matching the piano. If the CD played, she wouldn't be matching the CD. But she matched the voices of heaven, because when she sang that, people wept and cried. That little old retarded Judy, who didn't learn how to read and write till she was 55 years old, would sing, I'm going to heaven and I won't have to worry anymore. Now, I have a problem with people that won't sing down here. But I got news for you. Shy, or whatever your problem might be, when you get to heaven, if you're saved by the grace of God, you will sing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it won't be punishment. Amen? And then not only would it be singing in heaven, but I want you to see something else. Look at chapter 4 in Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Well, I wish Judy was here to sing that song, Tear Your Heart Out. Did any of y'all ever hear Judy sing that song? You did, Ben. Won't have to worry anymore. Chapter 4, Revelation. Look at verse 1 through 6. After this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which thou must, which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne, in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, he is given a heavenly description of the throne room of God. Now, did you know all the things going on, lightning, thunder, great noise, and beast, and all these things that describes, that throne stands firm and it has never moved. That throne is unmovable. Now, on planet Earth, everything changes. Everything. When you was growing up, what used to be a field is probably now a forest. What used to be a forest may now be a field. Somebody might have chopped it all down. People say, well, you can't go home. That's true, because as you get older, home disappears, falls in. A lot of the places you grew up in probably don't even exist anymore. Am I true? Things change. People change. Things move. Things move. If you go out there, and you farmers know this, you go out there and you plow up a garden this week, getting it ready for the spring, go ahead and start plowing up stuff. Next year, when you go, this year you're going to have to take all them rocks out. They don't call it Rock Hill for nothing. And so you got to get all those rocks out. And then you think, boy, I got it set for next year. And then next year, you get through with your garden, you let it all fall apart. And when you go to plow it back up, is full of rocks again. And you get them rocks out. That's how they used to build their fences around here. Those walk rocks, they got them from planting their garden. And every year you go back and you think, well, the rocks are all gone. And you come up with the same amount of rocks you had last year. You know why? The earth moves. The rocks come to the surface. You clear out rocks there and there'll probably rocks come up in their place next year. Everything moves on planet Earth. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes. But thank God there's a God in heaven who sits on a throne that has never moved. It's been that way since eternity past, and it'll be that way in eternity future. God changes not. His throne room changes not. The same God you talked to sitting on that throne last year is the same one that's sitting on it this year. It hadn't moved, hadn't changed. Everything stays the same. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. People change. Places change. Churches change. Institutions change. God is the only thing that changes not. Amen? Hey, boy, that's a blessing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll see somebody that say, you remember me? And I think, oh, no, I can't. Kinda. And they'll say, well, I used to be in church. I did this. I did that. And then we'll get talking. And they say, well, I don't go to church no more. I backslid. And I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I think to myself, I never would have thought that. I never would have thought that you would ever change. Do y'all know people like that? Amen. I think a lot of people, you meet them, you know, and they're preaching and they're testifying and their great prayers and great witnesses this year, 10 years from now you see them and you go, what happened to them? That'll never happen with God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. the same God that your great-grandma saw when she crossed over to the other side is the same God that your grandma saw. And the same God that your grandma saw when she crossed over to the other side is the one that your mama, if she crossed over, she saw the same one. Your grandpa, your great-grandpa, your great-grandpa, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, all of them see the same God 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or 1,000 years in the future. That throne will never move. It'll never change. I like that. Heaven never changes. I'm glad this world changes. I never would have thought I'd see some changes I've seen since I've grown. Boy, you always think, you know, that'll always be there, and then you go back, it ain't there. And you always think, boy, they'll always be like that, and you go back, and they ain't like that. And it changes. But the same God you got down on your knees to this morning will be the same one you get down on your knees to 10 years from now, 50 years from now, if you live that long. And it's the same God your grandma talked to, and your great-grandma, your great-grandma, all the way back to Adam. That throne has not moved. That throne room has not changed. It's the same God. Churches change. God don't change. Doctrines change. God don't change. He stays the same. Yesterday, now, that's heaven. The throne never moves. And then I want you to see this, Revelation 22:5, real quick. We done went over time. Revelation, how can a horse man go over time? Revelation must like to preach, amen? Revelation 22:5. I like to go to those meetings where that preacher gets up and says, well, I don't even know if I ought to be up here. I don't know if I ought to preach. I want to say, sit down and shut up. I'll preach. Amen. 22, look at verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And look at this. And they shall reign forever and ever. The light never dims in heaven. I don't know about you, but you can tell by this place right here, I like bright light. I go in churches sometime, I'm sure y'all been in them. And they have a tray. Actually, what it is, it's a rain gutter. And they put it across the walls up through there, and they put their lights down in that rain gutter, and the light shines up, and the room's dark. I went to one time, it was so dark, and then they turned the lights down when the service started. And I thought, well, that's the way the bar was. That ain't the way church ought to be. Heaven's full of light. It's not dark, it's light. Now you go in these churches, they painted the walls. I'll take you to two churches I know of. They painted the walls black. They painted their ceilings black. They got those dim lights and black lights. And I'll be honest with you, I am very uncomfortable in the dark. Now, I'm not scared of the dark, but I like to see what I'm running into, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And I like to see who I'm running into, don't you? I grew up in Lancaster. Amen. In Lancaster, those dark buildings, you sat in the chair with your back to the wall because you didn't know who was in there. Amen. And I want to know who's in there. And when we go to heaven, there's not going to be a problem with light there because God Himself is light. He's all light. He's pure light. There was light. You ever thought about this? There was light before He created the sun. There was light on planet Earth. Go back and read it. There was already light. But He created the light and the darkness to separate the night from the day. But it was already light because He was there. See, I tell people, I said, you can't live in darkness and live with God. Because if He's there, He'll shine a light on it. He'll shine a light on you and what you're doing. And it's very uncomfortable to have a light on when you're naked. Come on. Preacher, I wouldn't say that. I know you wouldn't. That's why He called me. Very uncomfortable. And listen, when he shines His light, you are going to be spiritually naked. And we got no Yankees in here tonight. I don't have to say naked. Naked. And so, N-E-K-K-E-D. And so, whenever the Lord God Himself is present, His light is there. And if we sin, and or if we try to hide out in the darkness, we are convicted because the light of God is on us, in us, and all around us. And so when you get to heaven, there's going to be no sin. Darkness and light cannot exist at the same time. Amen? Let me show you. I'll prove it to you. Watch here. Watch here. Now watch this. It's dark, right? Much as I can get from here. Now watch what happens. Where'd the dark go? Darkness and light can't work at the same time. If it's dark, there is no light. And if it's light, there is no darkness. And it's the same way with God. He's all light, and in Him is no darkness. And therefore, in the child of God, if we get darkness in us, that's not heavenly, that's hellish. And we're going to heaven, where it's always light. Now, when the light comes in, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, as we walk in the light, the Word of God, leading the way of God with the Spirit of God, it shines the light on us and tells us whether we're right or wrong, saved or lost. And when that light comes in, that darkness has to flee. So when you get to heaven, people say, well, I am what I am, and God will just have to take it when I get to heaven. No, sir, there's no darkness in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. That's darkness. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be pure, and it's going to be pure light, because it's all God, and in the presence of God can dwell no sin. I like that. I like that. I don't know about you. I get sick of this dark world that we're living in, where they call good evil and evil good. I get sick of this dark, perverted world where sexual perversion is lifted up and godly living is put down. Where the sexual deviant is called a good person and a good example, and a Bible-believing Christian is called a bigot or a fanatic. That's a dark world. Well, I've got news for them. Their darkness ain't going where I'm going. And thank God one day we will be delivered from all presence of darkness. Heaven will have no sin, no darkness. And then Revelation 19, I'm going way over. Revelation 19, look at 7, verse 7. Revelation 19, I want you to see what you're getting into if you're going to heaven. It ain't some little all dolls go to heaven cartoon. Look at 19, verse 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's us. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now I want you to know, there's going to be a supper like we've never been to. Now I've been to some fancy suppers, and I fit in like a bull in a china shop. But I enjoyed, all of us enjoy a little fancy every once in a while. Don't say you don't, you do. Only way I got it was I was with my wife, and she's intelligent and college stuff and school stuff and all that, you know. If you go to supper with me, it's going to be Redneck Highway 903 drive-in hamburger, cheeseburger, you know. Blow the horn, that little kid will come out there and take your order and go back in and bring it out to you. But now she's taking me fancy places. As a preacher, I've been to some fancy places. But boy, there's going to be a supper in heaven. It's going to be the grandest supper ever made. And you, look, it's a reception. The marriage supper, the reception after we're wed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the bride, He's the bridegroom, you're going to make a pretty bride, brother. That white bride dress, you're going to be so pretty. And we're the bride. And listen, we walk down that heavenly aisle and we meet Him and we're joined with Him and we're wed forever and ever. And then God says, okay, the wedding's done. Let's go to supper. I got something you ain't never had before. And then we go from there to that great marriage supper. Now, marriage supper is a place to celebrate. It's a place to rejoice. It's a place to be happy. And listen, the Jewish tradition, I don't know if you've ever seen a Jewish wedding supper. The men dance together. They'll dance together in big circles, you know, and no, 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 you know. And the women, they dance together. Just women, just men, get in a big circle, and they dance, and they celebrate, you know, and they praise God, and they read Scripture, you know, and they have a big time. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be the same way. I grew up in Lancaster. It was against the law to dance. But I'm going to dance when we get to heaven. I am. I'm going to dance. Hey, I'm going to dance for the Lord. I'm going to do like David. I'm going to make a fool out of myself. When the Ark of the Covenant, they'd rescued that thing, was bringing it back home. David got over in front of that thing and he was dancing. And his old self-righteous wife tried to criticize him for it. He said, shut your mouth. I was dancing to the Lord. I wasn't dancing to you. Boy, we're going to have supper like never before. I can't even imagine. And I would start telling what was going to happen, but I don't know. But I know it's going to be manna there. The angel food, amen? Manna from heaven, that's angel food. It's going to be there. And I know there's going to be the water of life there from the river of life flowing from the throne of God. I know that's going to be there. And I know there's 12 trees with 12 manners of fruit there that if you eat from those trees, you'll never die, just like that tree in the Garden of Eden. There's going to be fruit there. I know that. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. Now, I got to hurry. Last one. And then, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I'm just talking about what's heaven look like. What's it going to be like when we get there? It's not some, we're not dead. We're not asleep. We're not in a casket. Revelation 2:10. I got it back. 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There's going to be some crowns to wear in heaven. There's going to be some crowns. Now, we're just old South Carolinians. We ain't much in the world's economy. None of us are famous, you know. None of us are really rich. I mean, compared to the people and the way some of us grew up, we're rich. But compared to the worldly riches, we're not really rich, you know. We don't have any fame. A few people might know us, but very few. But when we get to heaven, Brother Rick, after the bride, after the wedding, and after the feast, He's going to give us some crowns to wear. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to give them back. I know that. But when He gives us that crown, ain't that going to be a wonderful thing to be recognized by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself individually? Individually. He's not just going to say, boy, you went to a good church. Y'all's a good bunch of people. He's going to say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I've got something for you. And He'll crown you. Every little girl wants to wear a crown anyway, don't they? And you'll finally get that crown. And there's more than one, and I'm not getting in that night. But you know what He's saying? I'm going to recognize you. You're finally going to get the recognition that you deserve as a child of mine. They ain't giving out no awards where you work for being a good Christian. They're not giving out any awards for being a good Christian down at the schoolhouse or the state house or the White House. But they're going to give them out in the heaven. And every one of us is going to be recognized for our faith and trust and works in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's going to be loss. I know that. And I know there's going to be burn up some. I know that. But listen, just getting there is going to be a blessing. But being recognized and receiving a reward that most of us never got any kind of on planet Earth. I mean, at school, they didn't recognize us. We didn't get the blue ribbon. We didn't even get the yellow ribbon, you know. We didn't even get one that said participation. You know. We wasn't ever at the top of the class. We was usually real close to the bottom. We wasn't the beauty queen and the handsome captain of the football team, baseball team, whatever. We were the ones that people made fun of and laughed at. But finally, we're going to get to heaven. And God's going to say, I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed to call you my children. And listen, I want to recognize you. And think about this. I want all these billions of people that's here. There's going to be billions of them. There's that many already there. And he's going to say, I want all these billions of people to know your name. I'm going to recognize you. Won't that be something? Heaven's more than just a place. It's our place. It is the place that we're living for. Old Bobby graduated the other day. He went down, he went from singing down here home from the war to singing Amazing Grace on the streets of gold. I can see that little fat boy running up and down that street shouting, hollering. Amen? Heaven. Are you glad you're going? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Thank you that we can know about heaven. It's not a mystery. It is a mystery, but it's not unknown. Lord, help us spread the good news that Jesus saves and wants to take. I want everybody to go to heaven. I'm like you, Father. I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, I pray tonight, if there be any among us that know you, tonight be the night they get their name written down in heaven. In Jesus' name.